Thank you for joining us. This week's message is from Dr. Jerry Shields and is entitled, The Impact of the Christ Child. Our scripture is Luke chapter 2, where the angels appear to the shepherds with words the world still needs to hear. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. In this sermon, we'll see how the coming of Jesus brings the joy of God's salvation and a peace of God's presence, a joy that lasts and a peace that isn't dependent on circumstances. If you're walking through fear, uncertainty, or weariness, this message is for you. Let's listen together.
You have your Bibles turned with me this morning to Luke chapter 2. As we look at the story we have been singing about, this Sunday before Christmas, we continue to focus on the message delivered by the angels who appeared in that very first Christmas story. A couple of weeks ago, we considered the message brought to Mary by the angel named Gabriel, who announced that the child to be born would be given the name Jesus. And this child would be the Son of the Most High, the Son of God, the Messiah of God who would reign over the kingdom of David forever and ever. The words of this messenger shed light on the unique and exceptional identity of the Christ child. As we continued the Christmas story last Sunday, we looked at the message proclaimed by the angel who appeared to Joseph. This message disclosed the intention of the Christ child. His name would indeed be Jesus. He would be known as Emmanuel, which means God with us. And he would save his people from their sins. Well, this morning we look at Luke chapter 2, where following the birth of Jesus, an angel announced the impact of his coming to the shepherds who were keeping watch over their flock at night. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, says, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Why was the Son of God sent? What would the Messiah of God accomplish? What difference would Jesus make? Well, this angelic announcement indicates that the coming of the Christ child enables us to experience the joy of God's salvation. In verse 10, the angel announced good news of great joy for all people. I love that phrase. I don't know about you, but I love that phrase, good news of great joy. I mean, that ought to draw us in. That ought to get our attention, because if we're desperate for anything, we're desperate for good news and great joy. And Christmas is indeed a season of joy. We hear the joy and the sounds and the songs of Christmas. We catch the excitement of little children as they anticipate opening presents. We may gather with family, attend parties, give and receive gifts, and eat way too much. But even aside from all of that, Christmas is a time of celebration and joy. And the angel announced the reason for celebration in verse 11. There has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So much in this world tears down. confuses, leads astray, produces hurt, creates misery, leads to destruction. But the Lord offers the joy of knowing His loving intervention and experience the gift of His salvation. In Christ, we discover the source of true gladness. God's intervention in our world is good news. It's great news. It is the best possible news. God has not left us to the consequences and misery of our sin. God has intervened to bring us salvation. In Christ, God has moved to meet our greatest need and to satisfy our most desperate longing. Through Christ, we are reconciled to God. We are embraced as His child. We are welcomed into His family. And as His children, we are assured of His love, His presence, and His provision, which means eternal inheritance in heaven. Whatever this life brings, we can have true joy because of the gladness God provides in that offer of salvation. And none of these gifts could be wrapped up. None of them can be placed under a tree, and yet they are the source of lasting joy. You know, at Christmas, we share gifts to bring smiles to the faces of others. But the joy of those gifts brings very temporary satisfaction. Food gets eaten, and what happens a little later? We're hungry again. Toys get broken or become outdated, and they're looking for something else. Clothes are outgrown or wear out. But the joy of Christmas is a joy that lasts. It's a joy that endures. It's a joy that can be enjoyed, spread, and shared, but a joy that never diminishes and can never be exhausted. We are invited to discover in Christ Jesus the source of true gladness, an inner joy that this world cannot take away. That was the nature of Jesus' own joy. Jesus lived in this fallen world, a world in which criticism and anger raged around Him. Suffering and affliction threatened Him. And pain, rejection, betrayal, and death closed in upon Him. And yet in John chapter 15, verse 11, He said, "These things I have spoken to you so that My joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." Jesus knew joy. And He offers the fullness of that joy to each one of us. And such joy is the result of a heart of contentment in the love of God, a will of surrendered single-mindedness to the purposes of God, and courage and hope rooted in the promises and provision of God. And that joy is found only in Christ Jesus. I like what C.S. Lewis has written. He said, "We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." So let me encourage you this morning, do not settle for the joy that comes from the temporary things of this world. Do not be satisfied with making mud pies in the slum. Christmas encourages us to seek and discover the unspeakable joy that comes from the salvation God offers in Christ Jesus. For the coming of the Christ child invites us to experience the joy of God's salvation. And the coming of the Christ child enables us to experience the peace of God's presence. The passage continues in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, where it says, "Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" Much in this world robs us of peace. Past mistakes, personal guilt, difficult and unpredictable circumstances, the cruelty and callousness of others, the sorrow of loss, and the reality of our own mortality. Our world and our lives are not often tranquil, and we experience much that disrupts and disturbs our peace. In this passage, I've got to imagine those shepherds. It was a quiet night. It was peaceful. It was starry in my imagination, and yet it was disturbed by this angelic messenger. And the text tells us that they were terrified, terribly frightened, and I could scarcely imagine their experience. Their calm, tranquil environment was turned upside down. And yet, in their distress and uncertainty, their fears were met with reassurance. Their apprehension was met with promise. Verse 10 tells us, "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people.'" In the same way, the coming of Jesus brings us peace in our troubled world by offering a right relationship with God. God meets our fears, our worries, and our apprehensions with reassurance that God has not forgotten us. God has not abandoned us. God is not angry, but has intervened in love on behalf of a lost world. In Christ, God has moved to reconcile us to himself. So for those experiencing guilt, fear, or shame, the intervention of God offers forgiveness and grace and reassurance. For those experience uncertainty and grief, the intervention of God offers comfort and hope. For those facing the reality of death, God offers eternal life. God is present. God is with us. God is intervening on our behalf. And this right relationship with God offers us tranquility within ourselves. Often the hardest person to live with is ourselves. Now, sometimes we project and we become hard to live with. But a Duke University study found that one of the greatest hindrances to inner peace is an unhealthy preoccupation with the past, particularly past mistakes. And much of the absence of peace in our heart stems from a refusal to acknowledge our sin, to confess it, to turn to God in dependence and trust Him to forgive it. But the coming of Jesus demonstrates the extent to which God has gone to remove our sin and guilt and to bring us back into fellowship with Him. Because in Christ Jesus, God has moved to deal with our past, to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, the gospel was intended to bring peace, to bring reassurance to our troubled hearts. The gospel is indeed good news. The peace Jesus imparts also offers steady confidence in life's ever-changing circumstances. God's presence can give us assurance in whatever we go through in life. all of life's uncertainties, because we will have times of difficulty. In fact, in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus had said, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." There Jesus acknowledged that we will have difficulties in this life. And the NAS actually uses that word tribulation. Some versions have trouble. I like tribulation because it seems more intense, more in connection with reality. But Jesus also pointed to the availability of peace even in the midst of those difficulties, even in times of uncertainty, because of who he is and what he's done in overcoming the world. I found a quote, I don't know who said it, but it says, "Safety consists not in the absence of danger, but in the presence of God." Living in this world of turmoil, this world of trouble and tribulation, we can find the peace of the presence of God. And God's presence can give us assurance for the future. As Jesus prepared for his own death and departure from this world, he said in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Man, those are tremendous words of reassurance and comfort. And it's in such drastic contrast to the peace that is talked about in this world. The peace of this world is dependent upon circumstances. It's unstable. It changes with the outlook of the future. The peace of God offers stability and hope whatever we face. In fact, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul wrote, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." That's the peace that Jesus offers. Whatever may take place around us, whatever may happen to us. And the peace Jesus imparts leads to increased harmony in personal relationships. Much turmoil in the world is the result of strained and fractured relationships. Much within us and in our world wars against good, healthy, beneficial relationships. It seems like there's always so much tension in our world. Doesn't matter where we look. But the presence of Christ nurtures reconciliation. The presence of Jesus promotes peace in relationships. In fact, in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, the Apostle Paul wrote, "If possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people." Relationships can be marked by harmony. They can be rooted in respect. We don't necessarily have to agree with others if we'll commit to treat them with respect. Well, that's something we need to hear today, be reminded of. But the commands of God, if we're people of God, and the example of Jesus, whom we're called to follow if we are believers, moves beyond mere respect to call us to deal with others in love. Constant, enduring goodwill. And I want you to know, doing that has the potential of transforming our families, our relationships, and ultimately our world if we embrace and extend the peace that God brings. To know the Lord along with His promises, His presence, and His provision is intended to enable us to experience peace. Whatever our circumstances, whatever our fears, we're invited to experience the enduring peace that Jesus makes available. Many of us would have loved to have had the experience of those shepherds, to see the angels and to hear their voices. But even if we don't, the message they received continues to speak to us today. We're invited to embrace it by faith. Donner Atwood has said, "The Christian faith enables us to face life or meet death, not because we can see, but with the certainty that we are seen. Not that we know all the answers, but that we are known." You see, the Christmas season reminds us that we are known, that God cares, that God has intervened and reached out to us in compassion and love. Whoever we are, wherever we are, whatever our circumstances, the angelic messengers spoke the good news of God's intervention. And our world is desperate for good news. Don't you love getting good news? How about the best of news? Because our world is filled with so much struggle, so many tragedies, so much sickness, so much sorrow, hurt, loss, tension, distress, and uncertainties. And our human attempts at solutions have proven inadequate. Our abilities have proven insufficient. Our need for hope, for security, for comfort, and for life is far beyond our ability to provide. And yet, in spite of our inability, the angels came that first Christmas to announce God's ability, God's intervention, and God's gracious activity on our behalf. In their message, we hear of the impact of the Christ child, the difference that He was sent to make in our lives and for all who believe. Jesus has come to bring the joy of God's salvation and the enduring peace of God's presence. This morning, do you know the joy of God's salvation? Do you rest in what He's accomplished and what He's promised and provided in Christ Jesus? Can you push everything else aside and just thank God this morning? God, thank You for what You've done for me in Christ Jesus. This morning, do you know the peace of God's presence? In a world of uncertainty and turmoil, in a world of cruelty and wrong, are you able to rest and say, God, thank You for what You've done in Christ Jesus. Thank You for the security that You provide when so much is outside of my control. Do you know the joy of God's salvation, the peace of God's presence? If you don't, this morning you can. That's the good news. That's why Christ has come, that we might know that joy, that we might experience that peace, because that's the impact of the Christ child. Have you responded to what God has done for you in Christ Jesus? Have you depended on Him? Are you still trying to make it on your own, in your own strength, finding your own way? Maybe this morning God is speaking to you for the first time to say, God, I need what You've done for me. I can't do this on my own. Perhaps this morning God is calling you for the first time to respond to His love and His grace. And perhaps you're here this morning, you're a person of faith, but man, this world is difficult. It's confusing. It's so often very dark. But are you experiencing the full impact of Christ's coming? As a person of faith, are you walking in the joy and peace that God provides? Perhaps this morning, as a person of faith, God is calling you to renewal, to look back to the Lord, to return to the Lord, to depend upon the Lord for what He's promised and what only He can provide. See, I've been chasing some other things. I've been looking in other places, and they're not bringing joy. They're not bringing peace. They're not bringing what really satisfies. And maybe this morning, as a person of faith, God is calling you back, calling you home, saying, I need to focus back on You. I need to draw strength and hope and comfort from that which doesn't change and that which is faithful. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you're fearful. You're anxious. The condition of this world or the circumstances in your life are creating a lot of anxiety. Maybe this morning you simply need to hear those words from the angel. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Because He has brought good news of great joy that's meant for all people. A reminder that God is still present and active in this fallen and broken world. Maybe you can hear those words this morning. Do not be afraid. Good news and great joy is coming. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you're seeking a church home, a place to partner with fellow believers to grow in your faith, to engage in serving with others, and be a part of proclaiming that message to a lost world. Man, we know that our world is desperate for that good news. We know that they're searching for that which will bring happiness and joy. And we have it. And maybe God is leading you to partner with us as we seek to share it and proclaim it to so many others who desperately need it. However, God may be leading you to respond, whether here at the front or there in your pew. I invite you to do so as John comes to lead us in our hymn of invitation this morning. Would you stand together as we sing together hymn number 103, Away in a Manger, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Thanks for listening to First Baptist Church Brownwood. If today's message encouraged you, share it with a friend and follow the podcast for more. If you're in the area, we'd love to have you this Sunday. May God fill you with a joy in Christ and peace in His presence.